Coming up in this bulletin, as another deadline for the implementation of the revised effective concrete block grant scheme is missed, the MICA Action Group has written to Agriculture Minister Charney McConlogue, appealing to him to urgently listen to the concerns of homeowners and provide clarity. One of the bereaved Greaslough families has questioned Donegal County Council's plans for the village, saying they don't believe anything should be done until there is clarity on what is to happen to the site of the explosion. Despite being the sixth largest hospital in Ireland, Letterkenny University Hospital is not given a fair allocation of resources, according to Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. And a Donegal deputy has told the Dáil that people cannot afford for the housing crisis to worsen. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First news though, as another deadline for the implementation of the revised effective concrete block grant scheme is missed, the MICA Action Group has written to Agriculture Minister Charney McConlogue, appealing to him to urgently listen to the concerns of homeowners and provide clarity. The Defective Concrete Blocks Act was due to commence on June the 14th. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien and Donegal Senator Niall Blaney were also CC'd in the letter issued. Valerie McHugh has more.
A year ago, pre-legislative scrutiny of the bill was denied for what government claimed was to ensure the scheme would be delivered without delay. However, the MICA Action Group says the absence of failing to apply full pre-legislative scrutiny, genuinely take on board key issues, and the lack of effectual project management is central to the government's failure to implement a timely and effective scheme. In their letter, the group says the opportunity to ensure the revised scheme is right this time has been squandered and has instead, they say, produced an act representative of a weak and ineffective lawmaking process. The group says it is regrettable that homeowners, many with already very fragile mental and physical health, are let down time and time again by a government that has a lack of concern for the victims forced to remain in collapsing homes riddled with black mould, damp, rain ingress and dangerous electrics. Minister Charney McConlogue has been asked to urgently clarify the scheme's delay and provide a definitive date as to when it will be in place.
One of the bereaved Greaslough families has questioned Donegal County Council's plans for the village, saying they don't believe anything should be done until there is clarity on what is to happen to the site of the explosion that took place in October last year. A public consultation on a village plan and regeneration project for Greaslough is taking place today. Hugh Harper, who lost his daughter Leona, said the site in its current form is an unfitting memorial and he doesn't believe any plan should proceed without further discussion. He told the 9 till noon show earlier that the scene of the explosion is a daily reminder of the tragic event.
How can there be a development plan or a village development plan or any other plan that doesn't include that site? To me, one plan can't go ahead without knowing what's going to happen with that site. To me, it doesn't make sense to me. I suppose what I'm trying to say is you can develop one end of the town. You can put as much love and heart and blood, sweat and tears into it as you want. And then once you turn the corner to and stand at the Carolyn Park there, belong with the Roderick family, you know, all that good work is undone for me. I'm sure there's people that come to that caravan park of Lorcan's there, and they visit a beautiful town, a beautiful area with lovely attractions, but the last word on their lips when they're leaving is that building, you know, what happened at Greaslough. In a way, that's a memorial at the minute, and it's not a fitting memorial. It's something that's reminding people that live local, that pass that every day, that lost people in that building, that were injured in that building, and my heart goes out to them I hate to use the word lucky, but we are in a way that we're not passing that every day. We don't have to see it every day. And to be quite honest, we find it very difficult to go towards the Greaslough because we know that building is still standing.
The US Coast Guard says a debris field has been discovered within the search area by a remote-operated vehicle near the Titanic. A pair of remote-operated vehicles are combing the seafloor in the search for a missing submersible. That's despite hopes fading because of estimates that the crew's oxygen supplies run out. 5 men are on board. Head of the search operation, Rear Admiral John Macker, says the weather is helping the search.
Conditions for the search and rescue are favourable right now. And so we're making the most of this weather window and the good conditions. We have aircraft still flying overhead looking for any indications of the submersible on the surface. And then, but our focus right now is on that subsea search with the new capability that we've brought online.
Despite being the sixth largest hospital in Ireland, Letterkenny University Hospital is not given a fair allocation of resources. That's according to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. He addressed the Taoiseach to question if the government will support the plan launched by the hospital's management.
There's hardly a week goes by where I don't hear horror stories from the emergency department of what's happening there for families. Absolutely unacceptable conditions, both for the patients and for the nurses and doctors who have to work there. We just don't have enough beds, nurses, doctors in Letterkenny University Hospital, and we don't have enough beds, nurses, doctors in the community hospitals. Letterkenny is the sixth largest hospital in the state. The sixth largest. If you compare Letterkenny, the allocation of beds, nurses, doctors, with, we'll say, the top 10 hospitals, you know, and I've done this and I've published this, there's no doubt we're suffering from inequality. Will you get behind this new plan and ensure fairness for the 170,000 people of Donegal?
Well, in his response, Leo Radker said while he has not yet seen the plan, government will consider all plans made by hospitals to improve services. He added that hospitals often struggle to fill vacancies when additional jobs are created.
Thanks, Deputy. I'm afraid I haven't seen the plan, but I certainly look forward to taking a look at it. And I've visited the hospital on many occasions. Obviously, we'll consider positively any plans that a hospital has to expand their services. One of the difficulties we often run into when we allocate additional resources for staffing is that hospitals often struggle to find those staff given the international shortage of health skills. And as you know, we do have expansion plans to provide more beds, about 1,000 more already provided since the government took up office.
One of the protesters at a security forum in Cork says a pro-neutrality group see events like today's as further eroding Ireland's neutrality and bringing the country closer to NATO. Dominic Carroll from the Cork Neutrality League is one of the demonstrators who interrupted Taoiseach Micheál Martin's opening speech at today's consultative forum on international security at UCC. Members of the Connolly Youth Movement also unfurled a banner and read out a statement where the Taoiseach was speaking. Micheál Martin later said the claims of the protesters don't tally with Irish foreign policy. Dominic Carroll claims he tried to raise a point of order at the start of the conference but was shouted down by the Taoiseach.
I persisted with my point of order until I realised it was pointless and I left. Other people from the Connolly Youth Movement, for instance, young men who, you know, in an increasingly militarised era are of age to be conscripted, were probably the only people in the auditorium of that age. They unfurled a banner about the millions that have been killed because of imperialist wars, and they read out a statement, and they were eventually removed by the guards.
A Donegal deputy has told it all that people cannot afford for the housing crisis to worsen. The central bank has stated that government will miss its housing targets up until 2025. Deputy Pearce Doherty says the bleak forecast is deeply concerning. He pressed Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath to admit the government's housing plan is not working.
The government has missed its own social and affordable targets since 2020, I'm sure you'll acknowledge. And if this abject failure continues, the housing crisis will deepen further, impacting housing need and the cost of housing as people are looking to rent and buy. Minister, you created, along with your party and Fine Gael, this housing crisis, and our people cannot afford for it to worsen further. So do you accept that your housing plan is failing, is actually designed to fail, and will you commit, as Sinn Féin have repeatedly called, for you to deliver 20,000 public homes per year?
Last year, housing output increased by about 45%. And the data now, in terms of commencements, completions, planning permissions, I think it's fair to say is more encouraging than it was perhaps 6 months ago. We are seeing a lot of activity in the sector. The suspension of the development contributions, for example, the water connection fees, is making a real difference. It is making projects that may have been marginally unviable now potentially viable, and the feedback has been quite positive in relation to that. There are lots of different ingredients here, from the planning system, which has to be reformed, to the issue of funding, and Home Building Finance Ireland are doing a lot of work in that regard to try and fill the gap that's there in some instances. But Minister O'Brien is confident that we will meet the housing targets this year, but we are also reviewing the national planning framework because the population has grown and the needs all over the country have increased significantly.
Like Owen Cahirlock of Donegal County Council has said, every effort will be made to minimise disruption as a result of the closure of Port Salem Pier next month for improvement works, which are set to last until October. A meeting on the pier heard opposition to the closure, with a number of businesses saying they were dependent on summer trade this year after the disruption of COVID. However, Councillor Liam Blaney says the €1.5 million allocated for these important works must be spent by October the 31st or it will be lost. He says Port Salem remains open and the council will do everything it can to support local businesses.
The meeting was called the last night to inform people, first of all, what was happening, and secondly, to try and see if we can accommodate as many as possible, any way that we can. There's going to be a number of pontoons, I think, put out there to try and accommodate ones that wants to jump but can't jump off the pier, and for to accommodate any boats maybe coming in and leaving people off in the pontoon and going on a smaller boat into the shore again. Ideally, that's not the right time of year, we all know that. And unfortunately, we're in the position we're in that we have no other option. I know the business down there is going to be hurting, but we're going to try and do what we can to accommodate them and to keep the people coming to Port Salem. Port Salem won't be closed off. It'll be open with welcome arms to anybody and everybody that comes near it.
RTE has admitted it paid Ryan Tubridy €345,000 between 2017 and 2022, in addition to his declared salary. It follows an audit carried out by Grant Thornton, with the chair of the RTE board describing it as a serious breach of trust. Media Minister Catherine Martin says she is extremely concerned with the findings and has set up a meeting with the broadcaster's chair on Monday. Columnist with the Business Post, Ian Guider, says RTE needs to explain more about the payments.
This is the biggest crisis RTE has faced in a long, long time, because, let's be honest, this goes beyond the pay of people out there. How on earth does an organisation the size of RTE, with what you assume would be checks and balances in place, not know that over a number of years it had understated a payment or payments of €120,000 to Ryan Tubridy that weren't disclosed?
Planning is underway to provide additional student accommodations for TUs, including Atlantic Technological University. The universities in question have been given 8 weeks to indicate how much accommodation would be needed in the regions. Minister for Higher Education Simon Harris says it is a significant milestone in the development of state-supported policy on student accommodation.
We'd never used state money ever in the history of the state. We've now changed that. We've approved over 1,100 part-funded student beds in places like Galway, Maynooth, Limerick, DCU. By July, I believe all university accommodation that has planning permission will have been moved forward. And today I'm announcing the next phase, which is appointing experts to work with what we call our technological universities, the universities in the regions, to come up with their plans in terms of how many student accommodation beds they need.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and there's one last chance to impress Vera Pauw tonight. That's before she names her Republic of Ireland World Cup squad. Zambia visit Tallaght Stadium for a friendly, Ireland's penultimate home game before departing for Australia. With Nigeria in Ireland's World Cup group, Pauw believes tonight's game will be a useful exercise.
It is getting used to the African style of play, because that is really different than European. And we need to feel that, we need to see that, we need to experience that. And if you first experience that at the World Cup, you're too late, because then it's what it's all about.
Kick-off in Tallaght tonight is 7:30. In other news, Dara O'Shea is having a medical at Burnley ahead of a move from West Brom. The Republic of Ireland defender set to cost a newly promoted side just over €8 million. And Celtic have made their first signing since Brendan Rodgers arrived for a second spell in charge. Norwegian midfielder Odin Thiago Holm has joined the Scottish Premiership champions on a 5-year contract from Vålerenga. The playmaker has represented his country up until under-20 level. In athletics, it's been another good day for Ireland at the European Team Championships in Poland. After the third and final day of action, Ireland finished top of the Division 3 standings and in doing so secured promotion to Division 2 for the games in Madrid next year. Finn Valley's Summer Leckie played her part in collecting valuable points. The Castle Derg native jumped to 1.74 metres to take third place in the women's high jump. Ireland finished 21.5 points ahead of Austria, with Israel third. Some of the standout performances today seen Ireland win the 4x400 metres mixed relay, while Sophie O'Sullivan also won the 1500 metres. Tyrconnell's Kelly McGrory was second in the 400 metres hurdles yesterday. In boxing, Jude Geller of the Two Castles Club in Newton Stewart will be in boxing action tomorrow in Poland in the Olympic Games qualifiers. He fights in the 57 kilograms weight against a Bulgarian. And continuing with boxing, the International Boxing Association has been stripped of its recognition as the sport's global body by the International Olympic Committee. It's due to what the IOC say was a failure to complete reforms on governance, finance and ethical issues. Boxing remains part of next year's Paris Olympics, but qualification bouts and the competition are being run by the IOC and not the IBA. In horse racing, Donegal jockey Oisin Orr had a second place finish at in the 2:30 Norfolk Stakes at Ascot today. He was on 60-61 shot Malk for Richard Fahey. And the big news from Ascot today was Frankie Dettori has claimed the Gold Cup in his final ever Royal Ascot. Courage Mon Ami was a 15-1 winner, beating the favourite Coltrane at the second, with Subjectivist third. It's Dettori's ninth career Gold Cup. In golf, Leona Maguire is a share of the lead on 2 under par, with 7 to play in her first round at the Women's PGA Championship. The Cavan golfer is joined on that mark by Aikia Ferrari. Stephanie Meadow has dropped back to 2 over par. And in the PGA Tour, Shane Lowry is a shot off the lead on day 1 of the Travellers Championship. He's 6 under par with 5 to play. Keegan Bradley is the early leader on 7 under par. Seamus Power and Rory McIlroy, they go out either side of 6 o'clock Irish time. On the European Tour, Tom McKibben's 2 shots off the clubhouse lead following his opening round at the BMW International Open. He shot a 4 under par of 68 in Munich. Adrian Sadier, Eduardo Molinari and Rico Hoshino jointly lead on 6 under. Out in the course at the moment, John Murphy is struggling on 8 over par. In cycling, Sam Bennett will be a Tour de France spectator for the second year running. Bora Hansgrohe have decided to omit the 2020 green jersey winner from their team for next month's tour. They've left one spot open on their roster, which they say will be for a climber rather than a sprinter. Finally, for this evening on the score, which comes up after the 7 o'clock news, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looks ahead to the return of action for Finn Harps and Derry City. That was after the mid-season break. Kevin Byrne of the Irish Sun gives us his take on Jason Quigley's latest title bid in New York. And on the bikes, Rhys Irwin reflects on his recent Supersport win in England. And Brenton Kilcoyne previews this weekend's big clash in the Gaelic Games between Donegal and Tyrone. That's the score after the 7 news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, mostly dry and clear at first this evening, although patchy outbreaks of rain will develop during the night. Overnight temperatures will stay warmer than in recent nights, falling to around 13 to 16 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: as another deadline for the implementation of the revised effective concrete block grant scheme is missed, the MICA Action Group has written to Minister Charney McConlogue, appealing to him to urgently listen to the concerns of homeowners and provide clarity. The Defective Concrete Blocks Act was due to commence on June the 14th. One of the bereaved Creaslaw families has questioned Donegal County Council's plan for the village, saying they don't believe anything should be done until there is clarity on what is to happen to the site of the explosion that took place in October last year. A public consultation on a village plan and regeneration project for Creaslaw is taking place today. Despite being the 6th largest hospital in Ireland, Letterkenny University Hospital is not given a fair allocation of resources. That's according to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, who addressed the Taoiseach to question if government will support the plan launched by the hospital's management. And a Donegal deputy has told it all that people cannot afford for the housing crisis to worsen. The central bank has stated that the government will miss its housing targets up until 2025. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about research regarding moves to make sheep greener as far as emissions go. But first, Chagas is organising an organic tillage and horticulture farm walk next Tuesday, June the 27th, on the farm of Donald Logue at Craig in Muff. Topics covered will include the growing of cereal crops organically, the economics of organic tillage, organic horticulture, mechanical weeding equipment, the Organic Capital Investment Scheme and the Organic Processing Investment Scheme. This is a great way to find out more about organic farming in Donegal, and the farm walk begins at 2 o'clock. You can contact Chagas for more information. Now, changing tack, Barry Murphy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. We hear a lot about methane from cattle and emissions and the difficulties that it can cause. Well, this week we're hearing about sheep and emissions and breeding values for methane emissions from sheep. So much of this will come as news to a lot of people. Tell us what has been emerging at Sheep 2023.
Yeah, no, Chris, thanks for having us now. Look, I suppose it's an interesting one for sure. And you said there, we hear a lot about methane emissions from cattle, but sheep also put them out, albeit not as much. And this kind of research operates off the principle that any farmer listening there up in Donegal, where you have many sheep, you can have a, you know, maybe a black-faced joe and a white joe standing beside each other in the field. They could be the same size. They could be have two lambs on each of them. They could be eating the same amount of grass and the same amount of meal and producing the same amount of milk. But both of them will put out different amounts of methane. And they've looked into the genetics on it, and they've found that the animals that are, say, the 20% of the top emitters the 20% of the animals at the top genetics are putting out 15% less methane than the animals with the 20% bottom genetics. So a big difference there, 15% saying the most efficient and the least efficient yo when it comes to methane. They haven't given out detail, and it's one we might look at a bit more in terms of the breeds, and you know, is it the Suffolk or the Cheviot, for example, that has the more methane efficiency, the greater methane efficiency. But it was launched after research by Togish and Sheep Ireland. It's part of the 3 million green breed project, which is funded by the Department of Agriculture, and Minister Martin Hayden launched there in Gartine on Saturday.
I see they're calling it, there's research about new methane breeding values. Explain that term. What exactly is methane breeding value?
Yes, pedigree breeders or pedigree sheep breeders will be familiar there with the genotyping, this idea of you genotyping your stock, and they're able to attribute now a value based off that genotyping to an animal to say that they're in the bottom 20% or top 20% of methane emitters. So it'll give you a value. That value incorporates lots of things. Up to now it has incorporated, say, you know, the simpler things like growth rates, prolificacy, longevity, you know, foot care, all those things into sheep breeding. And now it's bringing this emissions efficiency into the equation as well. So this is another factor. And I suppose the big thing to take from this research as well is it doesn't mean that the animal producing less methane has reduced performance and therefore reduced profit. You know, the two animals can be grown the same, be they two lambs that you're finishing for slaughter, or two yoas in the field. They can perform the same but can have very different emissions levels. So those values now will be available for all pedigree and genotype stock.
Is there a feeling that this could influence the type of breeds that we see in different parts of the country in the future?
Yeah, well, if you compare it, say, to the similar research being done on the cattle front, and you can make a genetic gain of about 1% year on year. So if you're breeding for, say, you know, breeding yoas to have better elders or better udders, for example, you can, every year you make a 1% gain on that. So each year their elder will be 1% better. So over, say, 10 years, you make ground of 10% on improving udder quality, or if you're breeding for easier calving in a cow and that kind of thing. So if you take that principle to these methane traits, if you breed year on year for the more efficient methane animal, you could reduce methane emissions for the overall national flock by 10%. Over 20 years, you're talking by 20%. And what that does actually is it's making reducing emissions just by breeding, just by selecting rams with the lower methane traits. Still the same cost to the farmer. You know, still have to buy the ram. It will make more sense to buy one that has more and is better on the methane front or the methane side of things. So it's a win-win for the farmers. It's doesn't require the need for any boluses or feed additives or, you know, a sheep cull or a cow cull or anything like that to reduce the methane levels. It's just breeding more efficient animals. And Ireland's actually, you know, this is really groundbreaking research, and Ireland's only the second country in the world to develop such research. And what it is now, and what it wouldn't be if it was in other countries, I think, is it's public knowledge and it's public information and it's not being privatised. So it's great to have kind of that study show that, you know, like I said at the start there, you can have two sheep in a field putting out very different levels of methane. And if we're going to be calculating the overall farm sector's methane emissions, it's important that, you know, the farmer who has the lower methane sheep will be rewarded for that, and that those animals who bred for the sake of bringing down that overall emissions output from the farm sector.
So in a nutshell, we're going to have more environmentally friendly sheep?
Greener sheep, that's it for sure, Chris. I don't know now. It depends on the breed front as well. I'm sure now if the Suffolks have come out to be the highest emitters, the Suffolk Sheep Society, for example, mightn't be all that happy, and likewise with any breed society, and there might be a bit of politics to play out there too. But, you know, I think from the farmer's perspective, Irish sheep farmers, they're always breeding a more efficient animal anyway, an animal that can convert grass into lamb. And this is just another aspect of that they can do it more efficiently on a methane front.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. And there is a website, ramsearch.ie, which I believe contains a lot more about this.
There is. For any farmer or listener there looking to know more about, you know, the ram, if their ram is genotyped, I think they can put in the ram's tag number and find out where that ram falls on the scale. So, you know, that'll be interesting. And I'm sure, you know, any farmer looking to kind of have a bit of a nose at that and see what kind of stock they have on their farm or what kind of pedigree animals they have, and to be able to find out more there.
Great. Just before we let you go, Barry, the Farmers Journal reporting this week also that the Department of Housing is looking at possible increases in county council farm inspections. This is all part of a bid to boost water quality. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so there's been a big push on with the Department of Housing, which is responsibility for local authorities. And they're basically seeking to increase the number of good agriculture practice regulation inspections. And as you said, it's all driven at boosting or improving water quality. So local authorities are kind of the county managers of them. They're setting a target of having 20,000 additional farm water pollution inspections carried out over the next 5 years. So that's, you know, quite a significant number, and it means that there's going to be more local authority representatives seeking to access farmers' land and do water quality inspections. So it all plays into Ireland's under pressure now to improve water quality. We would have seen the EPA out last week with that there's been no significant change. While there's been bonus or gains made in some rivers and water courses, there's also been further pollution in others. So it's kind of a cancelling out effect, and the water quality across the country really hasn't improved. And it's quite concerning in that the farm sector had a significantly reduced use of nitrogen last year, fertilizer, off the back of very high prices. And that didn't seem to bring things down or improve things in terms of water quality. So, yeah, these inspections now, farmers can anticipate them over the coming years. A bit of a ramp up for sure from the local authorities.
And that was Barry Murphy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. IFA National Livestock Chair Brendan Golden is calling on Donegal suckler farmers who are not currently approved for the Sustainable Beef and Lamb Assurance Scheme to contact Bord Bia to have their farm approved before the 16th of October deadline. He said farms must be fully quality assured by this date, and to achieve this, applications should be made as soon as possible to avoid delays in getting approved before the deadline. He stressed that farmers who are not full members of the Sustainable Beef and Lamb Assurance Scheme by this date will be removed from the programme. And finally, Aaron McElroy Kelly from Letterkenny is one of 11 apprentices who graduated from the first cohort of the QQI Level 6 Arboriculture Apprentice Programme. An arborist studies the biomechanics of trees, growth, cultivation, reactions to pruning, diseases, and all the practical aspects of tree management. Along with maintaining and caring for trees, an arborist provides many other services such as insect control, fertilization, cabling, aeration, and lightning protection. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, June the 22nd. The death has taken place of Margaret Ann McDermott, née Gibson, Ballyhooly Raphoe. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Junan's Church, Raphoe, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. House private, family and close friends welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has taken place of Sheila Porter, née Grant, 24 Stevens Court, Ballymacgrorty, Derry. Her remains are reposing in her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30 for 12 o'clock Requiem Mass in Holy Family Church, Ballymacgrorty, followed by interment in St Angus's Cemetery, Burt, County Donegal. The death has taken place of Phyllis Duffy, Rock Hill, Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence today from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock and again tomorrow from 11 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Junan's Cathedral with burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Honour King, Mahern Chur, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her brother Carl's residence in Mahern Chur. Funeral from there tomorrow at 12:30 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private from 10 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Hillcrest Lodge, Letterkenny, care of any family member or McLaughlin and McLaughlin's funeral directors. Church service can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.